Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2013, and I think we lost little Al there. So I think we're going to have Frank, if you're listening, I think you're going to have to call Al and get him back on the line, as we do have Wendy Wilson for the first 20 minutes. But as we do all this, are you there, Al?
Yes, I am.
I thought you left.
No, you put me on hold.
No, I didn't. Anyway. Yeah, Frankie fixed it. Okay, little big Frank fixed it. Anyway, what a great! I was getting all excited, and I heard you bop out, and I don't know what happened, but anyway, let's get right to the markets, folks. You have gold, a tremendous day in gold today, up $27.10, $1,364, almost $65, and we did have a high of $1,371. And gold struggled a little bit in early morning trade, but it turned around and we were as high as 1371, blew through the technical support of resistance of 1350. So very good day with gold today, up over 2%. Silver is up $1.12 at 2309, up 5%. And another great day in gold. Platinum was up a little over 1.3%, up $20 at $1,531, along with palladium up 22 at $767. Pressure on the dollar today, the USDX today, 0.58 at 81.15. It was just the perfect day today. Everything worked the way it was supposed to. And
somebody's going to catch hell for that, aren't they?
Yes.
You can expect there's going to be a wave of firings or resignations or something. What the heck is, you know, this is like one of those days you've seen that the guy that played Hitler in the World War II drama, and he goes through that, he gets hyper when he finds out something bad has happened, and they've used it a dozen different times to talk about Obama's doing. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about, Melody?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you should see that. In any case, I'm just guessing that they're going to have one of these. They're going to put lip sync on the Fuhrer fuming about whatever happened in today's market. Why wasn't the market manipulated? Are you crazy? And Dow Jones is down over 200 points.
Yes, it is 225 at 15,112. Even the NASDAQ was down a big 64 at 3606, along with the S&P down 1.5% at 1661. Yeah, they were down most of the day, but you know what? It's amazing, and we'll kind of make this a little brief, and we'll get a little bit in more into it after the first break. We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon. But what really made the market drop is really incredible. They're blaming it all because of two companies, Walmart and Cisco, and only because of those two. And but the selling just took off, and they actually had about 93% of the S&P's index index's 500 stocks fall. 93% of them dipped today. So, and, you know, what was interesting also is that right around noontime today, the S&P was only down about 20 points, and about 1.2%, and the number was 1666. That doesn't mean anything. That's just interesting. And we'll talk more about that, though.
I'm going to look in the, while we're waiting here, I'm going to get my Bible and look in Revelations and see if a day like this was anything to do with end times or not.
Signs everywhere, signs.
Yeah, I guess so.
But an exciting day for gold anyway. And so, folks, if you've been putting off thinking and listening to those guys who say, oh, gold 1,000, silver 15, this is what you get. And it can have a tremendous turnaround. We could have a little bit of a pullback tomorrow, but I don't think so. Tons of things are going in Egypt. Syria is coming apart. And all of these are all good for gold. And they can only suppress it for so long. And then the true fundamentals of things will take over. And I think this is what we're seeing right now. So, and we've only just begun. So
we've only just begun.
Uh-huh. And let's go ahead and get to, and again, remember, folks, we'll be talking about this after our break. But first, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al.
And hi, Wendy.
I have a question. Am I on American Idol? Everybody's singing.
Yeah.
No, it's just one of those days. It's TGIT. All right. Thank goodness it's Thursday. So we've got that, you know.
Okay. Very nice.
We'll be dancing,
I like the singing
here any moment now. We're going to start doing some tap dancing, too. And we decided
like
to turn
singing.
This into a variety program. We're not just going to talk about finances and health and the economic power and the political. We're going to start doing the things people are really interested in, and that's Hollywood.
Okay.
All right, so do you have anything on Hollywood for us today, Wendy?
Sorry to say, I do not. Nothing on Hollywood.
Well, here we got something for you. Cancer breakthrough. Probiotics may save patients from deadly chemotherapy. Antibiotics may cause chemo to be fatal. That's the headline. This is from Natural News. If you or someone you love is facing the possibility of cancer or chemotherapy, make sure they read this story. Breakthrough new science conducted at the University of Michigan is about to be published in the journal Nature. Reveals that intestinal health is the key to surviving chemotherapy. I'm not going to go any further into the article right now. What do you think about that? Is that reasonable or unreasonable?
I think I saw that they were talking about probiotic health, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, good gut flora is going to be going a long way to overall health. So, yeah, you know, if you're healthier, you know, we have a better. But chemo, let me tell you, those cancer treatments have 100% mortality rate. They can't actually do anything about cancer. They just try to lessen symptoms, and then they call it, you know, your cancer is in submission. That's all that means, is your symptoms are not as bad. Doesn't mean the cancer's gone. So, actually, you brought up cancer, you know, the statistics from the American Cancer Society, if you can believe those folks, is that 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women are going to get cancer at some time in their lives. And, of course, the role of the American Cancer Society, other than being the biggest fundraiser ever for cancer, is they're supposed to conduct epidemiological research on cancer you know, causes of cancer. They also say they fund university labs and research. Also, they assist environmentalists in advocating a healthy environment, even on the state and federal levels. And they're supposed to inform us, folks, of cancer risk. Okay, so they have six categories, Al and Melanie, for cancer, and they fall into the genetics. Of course, you know, if you've researched that at all, you know, cancer by genetics is pretty rare, but we're taught otherwise. The other category is tobacco. Then there's lifestyle, your diet and exercise, sun exposure, radiation. So anybody out there want to sign up for a mammogram, just keep that in mind. And also other environmental factors such as chemicals. So, but you know, the six
including drugs that you take from the doctor, right?
Well, so savvy you are, Al, because the seventh category I would add would be your prescription medications, definitely. Certain drugs can actually increase your risk of getting cancer, of course. Immune suppressant drugs are listed, and these are by the folks at the American Cancer Society. So that, radiation and chemo are their biggest ones, but then your GM foods they didn't list, but they cause a DNA change, but they do mention on their website that DNA could cause a carcinogen. So your GM foods should be there, and also your vaccinations should be there. So the list gets long. You know, they say that the ROC report, Al. It's the report on carcinogens, and the feds are supposed to release one every 2 years. And the report includes known and reasonably anticipated causes for cancer. And the last report they put out, they had 246 cancer-causing agents. They also listed viruses like, get this, the hepatitis B and C. So what are these vaccines about? Huh? And also your cancer-causing agents, which they listed the human papilloma virus for one, your x-rays, lead compounds, grilled meat. Anybody like to cook on the barbecue too often? Huh?
Well, I have for years, to tell you the truth. I don't do it too much. I haven't done it in some time, but I've always, and I know that it's bad for you, and I know that it's been reported bad, and it's not even news.
Right.
In the sense that it's been around. I bet I've been aware of this for at least 20 years, and it might be 30 or more, that there have been reports that when you grill the food over an open flame, you wind up creating charred portions of the meat.
Right.
And those charred portions actually wind up at least absorbing carcinogens from the smoke coming off of the flames, or actually become carcinogenic all by themselves just by virtue of being changed from a raw meat into something burnt.
Right, so exactly.
It's not news, but it's still hard to resist. I mean,
I know. Everybody loves that child board.
Yeah, I understand.
Steak, but yeah. Well, you know, but cancer is important, as you probably know. Cancer is very important. You know, it wouldn't be important if agencies, well, they're throwing $6 billion a year on advertising campaigns associated with cancer disease. And if it's not important, why are they spending $6 billion? Also, taxpayers have spent over $780 million on cancer cures. But, you know, the real estimate's hard to say. The number that's raised, where people raise money for cancer, they think it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And you want to wonder where this money's going. Do you wonder where this money's going, Al?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not going to me.
Well, that's true.
I can look around in the rest of that, but I don't think I got it. So I'm not sure where it's going, but I see your point.
Yeah, well, we need an institution and industry based
on collecting money to try to solve the cancer problem,
right?
And we are led to wonder, the circumstances lead us to wonder, are they actually working on solving cancer, or are they working on better advertising to get more people to contribute more money to solve the cancer problem? And you can tell us about that, and also tell us, what do you think can be done about cancer?
Well, we probably could use a Sherlock Holmes to figure out where all this money's going, but we came close to having one. Back in 88, a professor of economics at George Mason University, James Bennett, he checked out the charitable organization known as the American Cancer Society. And according to the professor, basically, 26% of its budget is tied up in land, buildings, and equipment. But over 60% of the budget goes to generous salaries, pensions, and executive benefits and overhead. So, and then 6% is contributed by donations from Americans or other people to go to the bottom line. So basically, and people who are on the board of this thing are in Boeing, entertainment industry, biotech industries, pharmaceutical. These people are on the board of the American Cancer Society. So yeah, cancer's real important. And I want people to remember that when they're asked to sponsor the next Walk for the Cure or schedule their mammogram. Because here's the drug list that they have found contributes to cancer: your hormone replacement drugs, your heartburn drugs like Prilosec, blood pressure drugs, dermatitis, eczema, topical prescriptions they have found contribute to lymphoma, skin cancer, cholesterol drugs. This was reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association back in 96. Your statin drugs, for instance. Also, Vicodin, cholesterol drug, and statin drugs, and the new Gardasil vaccine. So there's a host of things that we're exposed to every day, including your charcoal grill on your patio, that can contribute to your cancer risk. And so it's more going to be more important than ever that you, me, Melanie, and everybody else, you know, do their due diligence to minimize those risks and stay as healthy as possible and avoid all that stuff.
One of the things that we touched on right at the beginning of the program was, according to the report, probiotics can be important to minimizing your exposure to cancer. But why don't you tell people what probiotics are, point one, and what do they have to do about acquiring some?
Right. Probiotics are basically your floras, your healthy bacterias, if you will, that supposedly live in the bowel system, the digestive system, and help your body, you know, metabolize proteins and enzymes and feed the cells of the body all the energy it needs. And when bacteria get out of whack, this is where people are looking to take, you know, a supplement of probiotics to try to help balance that digestive flora. Just want to be careful because not all probiotics are the same. They're manufactured differently by different types of manufacturers. Different cultures are used. And in some instances, you'll even get man-made lab, synthesized probiotics. So you got to be careful and read your labels. So some people can take one brand and do well, and they take another brand and they can have diarrhea. They can have some, you know, side effects. So do your research. I would definitely recommend, if you're going to take a supplement of probiotics, to make sure it's a refrigerated version. So usually they're in a chilled, cooler area of the store. And I would avoid the Activia in the yogurt, because that's a lab-engineered and enzymatic type of probiotic, which tends to give more people problems than not. So do your homework on all that stuff.
When we take probiotics in order to stimulate the flora, I suppose is the proper term, that's in our intestinal system.
Right.
Are we engaging in a symbiotic relationship with those microorganisms? Are we kind of feeding them? Are they kind of feeding us? Can the relationship be described as symbiotic, or is it something other than that?
Well, I think it's all about numbers, you know, because if you don't have a balance, you know, the right proportion of the flora, then it gives an opportunity for some of the other floras that are a little stronger and hardier to kind of, you know, take over. For instance, we do have yeast, candida, in the bowel, and it's necessary. It's there. But you certainly don't want an overgrowth of yeast, because that will inhibit protein absorption and produce a condition called chronic fatigue syndrome. So what will make yeast overgrow is a suppression of the other floras, which usually is from like things like long-term antibiotic therapy and stuff like that. So
if people want to get more information on these topics, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yes. They can sign up, obviously, for the newsletters that Melanie and I and you put out, the American Survival Newsletter. Or they can just simply call Apothecary Herbs if they want a free product catalog on herbal products and for cleansing and immune boosting. That's what we do. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Wendy Wilson thanks. From thepowerherbs.com. We'll see Wendy again next Thursday. Thank you and look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a commercial break, a couple commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. And today is an interesting day because it's almost the first time we've had, it's almost the first time that I have dared to feel that the 2-year drop in the price of gold has ended. You know, we've seen that we've hit the bottom, and apparently hit the bottom in the last month or so, 6 weeks, and it certainly appears that we're not going back to the bottom. We're going back on up toward the top. But this is the first time that I can recall in the last 2 years where all of a sudden I actually feel a little bit elated. I feel like, oh, hey, finally! All right, we've been telling people something like this was going to happen. We don't know that it's actually, we don't know that it's as, there's as much cause for celebration as I suspect right now. We can't say that tomorrow. Who knows? The gains we made today may could be wiped out tomorrow. We understand that. Nevertheless, there's something different about this today. We broke through that 1350 barrier without a great deal of trouble. It's $28.70 up. We've had a couple other decent days this week. It really does look, and you know, gold was down. They took it down earlier today to 1318 was the low of the day for the day. And yet it bounced back up to where it's only $5 short of the high. It's 1366 or thereabouts. Right now, the high was 1371. That's a big recovery. That's $50. Yeah, a $50 recovery, ballpark. $50 recovery in today's market from the bottom on up to where it is right now. That's, you know, got neat. You know, we're talking about singing at the beginning of the program, and they've got happy feet now. The market has given me happy feet, Melody. I'm going to start dancing right here on the program.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Al. I don't look at gold going down for the past 2 years. I mean, really, we started, really only happened, you know, when they really got clobbered back in April. I mean, yeah, you started out 2011 at 1388 and ended up at 1531. In 2012, it started out at 1598 and it closed out at 1657. So for each of the years, those gold was up. And it was really only this year that it started out at 1693. And of course, we're down at, this level where we are today, and it really only got hit come April is when they did the massive plunge, because it went from, you know, went down and we touched below 1200 from then on. So I mean, that's how I view the gold. Gold has done very well, I think, up until this
September of 2011, 1900 up peak. You know, it has.
I mean, that was the peak, yes, but I mean, gold has been doing a lot better than that peak, and they'll always will. You know, we will relate to the peaks and so forth. But I mean, that was a peak. It didn't stay there. It didn't. You know,
it's subjective.
But so really, but it is. This is how they look to gold, and all this pressure applies to gold, and people will look at it and say, well, you know, it hasn't been doing very good. I think what's happening now, what we're experiencing now, I think what we're experiencing, as I've been saying for a long time, we needed it to close above 1300 for an extended period of time, and I believe that was the bottom that we were forming, and I believe we're coming into September. And I think we're going to see all kinds of things begin to happen. We've got the debt ceiling, you know, that's going to have to be addressed. You got the Obamacare coming in October, and I saw some reports today, Al, where government is giving out, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, was it $67 million or $67 million? I don't know how many millions of dollars, but it's so that the various states, they're giving it to these states to where the states can actually hire people in order to sign folks up for the Obamacare. And my question is, why can't people just do it on their own? Why don't they even have to pay anybody to go out and sign people out, mail out a form, and let them fill it out and send it in? I mean, how hard is it? So probably save them you know, $67 million to do that. So you're going to have a lot of confusion with that. The stocks, you can see bonds begin rising. And I think that we're building here at this time in April. I think things are it's building. It's like a pressure cooker.
What is building?
Oh, I
what
shouldn't say that. Oops, sorry.
You can say pressure cooker, but
am
you
I
can't.
Am I allowed to say pressure cooker?
Can't say anything about that.
Oops.
Right. Now, here's what I see right now, or not even what I see, what I feel. It is subjective. It is not, you know, it can't sit back and say this is a rational position per se. But what I've seen for most of the last 2 years, 20 months, thereabouts, people had lost their expectation that gold was going higher. It might move a little higher, it might move a little lower, it might move sideways, but we'd lost that expectation that it was going to go higher. Coming into
I don't think so.
up coming into 2011, and sort of, I had the expectation it was going up, and then it was going to go up, and then it would go up some more. We had that expectation. I think it was damaged. I think it was diminished over the last 20 months or so. For myself, I get a it's more than just logic. It's more than objective evidence. I get the feeling that we can now begin to expect that gold is going to rise. Not just watch to see if it does or doesn't. I get the feeling we are now at the point where we can expect gold to rise. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. I don't know. I could be mistaken. I'm not saying it's gospel, but I'm just saying that's the feeling I have.
I don't think people really, you might have, but I don't think with my customers, we didn't really have that feeling until they blew it in April. And it was just kind of, they kicked us in the gut and we felt it. But if you're a believer in long-term fundamentals, well, you got to believe it's going. It's going to go. I don't care what they do to it on a day-to-day basis, month-to-month basis, because I know the fundamentals. Things trade on fundamentals. They don't trade on charts. You can't follow charts because they're manipulated. So how can a chart tell you what the markets are going to do? They might give you a little bit of short-term trading, but as far as long-term and the fundamentals, those are truth. And I think when we stick to those fundamentals, we should all be optimistic of what your gold investments are going to do. Gold investment is the insurance policy. You know it's going to pay off when the stuff hits the fan. And just like your home insurance, when your house is on fire, you know, as long as your insurance company is still there, it's going to pay off. So we got a caller, Jim from West Virginia.
I'm back.
Hey, Jim.
Hello. There are actually a lot of positives if you look at them. And incidentally, I'm a small cell lung cancer survivor 5 years ago, Gerson.org, www.gerson.org. I hang on to every word Wendy Wilson says, okay? Anyway, bottom line, Donna says a lot of positives. A year and a half ago, the military was put on high alert to go to Libya. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Iran, we've heard for years, that, oh, we're going to go to war in Iran. Nope, didn't happen. Syria, we won't go there. Military's waking up. Internet 2 didn't happen. There's an immigration bill in Congress, and there are no demonstrators out in the streets. Christine Lagarde said maybe 6 months, maybe a year ago, I don't remember when, that a lot of countries such as Japan and the United States could wipe out their debts with a stroke of a pen. Christine Lagarde, head of IMF. I see a distinct, you've heard of the half-life of truth. I found that there's a distinct decrease in the half-life of lies. 50 years ago, JFK slaughtered. And there were so many conspiracy theories going, I didn't know what to think. But as of about 25 years ago, I think half of America woke up to that lie. Okay, this is 25 years was the half-life to lies then. For 9/11, I would guess the half-life of lies when half American people realized the 9/11 conventional explanation was a lie. That took about 5 years. Now, it took about 6 months probably for the Benghazi deal. And now I think we're down to sometimes just a few days, the half-life of the lies.
I think you're making a good point. And what do you suppose is the reason why the half-life is shrinking? In other words, people are only falling for the lie. There was a time they'd believe it for 10, 20 years. Then it got to where they'd believe the lies for 5 years. Now it's down to where they may only believe the lies for a few days. What do you think is the reason for the change?
I think this is delving into the spiritual.
Yeah.
I think people are asking God, dear God, what's happening? Why is this happening? I think that's a factor. I think another factor is that people know there's something wrong, and pain cures stupidity, okay? So I think the combination of the two.
I think there's a third. I think there's at least a third point, and that would be the Internet. We have access to it, the other side of the story right now. We're in the past. We got our news from CBS, ABC, and NBC, and that was the news. Now we're getting the news from them. They give us their opinion of the news, and there's other people all over the Internet. And some of those people are rational, logical. They can persuade people. They can present evidence. And they can say, no, this is a bunch of crap, what we just heard from the mainstream news, and here's why. And I think there's a fourth reason also. government has become so dependent on lies in order to try to maintain public confidence in a system that's unworthy of our confidence, that they are flooding us with lies. We got a little bit of, we got some of the little boy who cried wolf syndrome going on here, to where people are finally just saying, oh, enough of it. I don't want to hear any more of the lies.
Oh, I tell you what, you Trump, those two Trump, what I was...
I think they're all in there, and I wouldn't discount the spiritual in particular, but I mean, I think you're making a good point. The government is not able to sell lies to the American people as effectively as it has in the past. And it's like, as soon as they get caught in one lie, well, they move on to another one.
Yeah, thank God. But I mean,
cover the last lie with a new lie, and it's just not functioning.
Well, look at the situation. They closed 20-some embassies. They had apparently planned false flag attacks on a couple of American cities. They dared not do it. I think there's something else, a good side of the NSA also. I think when the NSA is looking at all this traffic on the Internet, says, wait a second, we better not do that. The American people already know, so let's try another bunch of BS. Oop, nope, nope, the feedback's there. It's also a situation where they were watching the military enough to know the military is going to say, H, no, we ain't going to go. So I think that they're beginning to realize as a result of their spying. Now, that's a positive side of the spying. It's wrong that they do this. I want them to read what I write. I want them to, because maybe they'll learn something, because I'm a lot wiser than some of these idiots who get into the military, but the military's waking up, and maybe they're saying, oh, we better not do this false flag and blow up Chicago, because I think the people figured out that. So there is a positive aspect. There's a positive in a lot of this different stuff. I said long enough, I'd come up with a longer list, but I think I talked too much anyway. Incidentally, when the American people figured out Obamacare's H.R. 2962, it's a House resolution. It is not a H.B. House Bill 2962. You put a bill into the House, and it goes to the Senate, and it gets signed into law. Resolution binds only the House of Representatives. When they figure out that whole dang thing is a scam, that'll be the end of it. And I don't think it'll ever be implemented, because people are going to say, H, no, I ain't going to spend this much money for Obamacare. Obama.
I understand.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are waking up, and I think all the reasons that you guys mentioned are absolutely true. But I think another reason is, yes, it's human nature, but I also think people are being hurt. And I think as we went through a period of time when everyone grew, everybody expanded, whether it was the right way to expand, whether it was all done by debt, whether they could buy things, they were happy, they had the carrot that was dangled in front of their face. There wasn't any reason for them to really pay attention or to question what was going on. And yeah, we've been conditioned to believe that, we don't talk politics, we don't talk religion, and we all know most of the politicians are crooked, but what can I do about it? I don't vote because what's my one vote going to do? It's the worst of two evils. So there's always been this kind of conditioning. And I think we're at a point in time now where people are being affected. Inflation has stolen the money that they've been making, and it's harder for them to survive. Their standards of living are beginning to decline. And if they're not being affected by it personally, they have a family member or maybe a child, maybe a daughter and a son, and maybe they have babies, and they can't do it, and they see everyone struggling. And I think this makes them pay a little more attention. Something is not right. Something is going on. And but yet you see, all the talk, and I think maybe the financial news programs are actually going to backfire on them, because all you hear is all the wealth. You have all these corporate CEOs being dragged across the cameras on a daily basis, and it's all about these financial planners making billions of dollars. They only talk about billions, billionaires, not millionaires, but billionaires. And I think people are saying, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this.
No, it's unbalanced. The whole thing is, it's the Congress has become sold primarily to the wealthy. All right? They are not there to legislate. They are there to broker laws. People pay them enough money, and they pass and they enact laws that they don't even read. They don't write them. They don't even read them. And they vote for them It's all wrong. It's crazy. Why do they vote for him? Because somebody's paying him to do so. That's ultimately the reason why this takes place. We're going to have to break, Melody, and take commercial announcement. We will come back, talk about how Americans are being hurt by this system and how they're barely keeping afloat. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here in Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and although we may debate what the objective causes and the fundamentals and the subjective causes and effects are, I'm feeling good about it today. All right, tomorrow maybe not, but today I feel good about gold. What else do we have, Melody? We said we were going to talk a little bit about people being hurt, and we have an article here, Americans Barely Keeping Afloat. Did you know that 44% of Americans are liquid asset poor? That is, they live from paycheck to paycheck. If you have less than 3 months' income savings, you are liquid asset poor. And just one setback away from disaster. If you are in this boat, you're not alone. And it isn't entirely your fault. Americans are getting poorer. From 2000 to 2010, median household incomes fell from $53,000 to $49,500 per household, and adjusted for inflation, the situation is much worse. In nominal dollars, went from $53,000 to $49,500. After inflation is calculated in, it's probably equivalent of going from $53,000 to something in the neighborhood of $40,000 and maybe less than that. 25% of Americans have only $100 set aside for emergencies. 25%. This barely covers one new tire or one call from a plumber. Half of Americans have only $800 set aside for an emergency, which will only cover half a new transmission, half an emergency room visit, or one last-minute plane ticket. Unmarried women are 89% likelier to be liquid asset poor than unmarried men. High school dropouts are over 500% likelier than bachelor's degree holders to be in that situation. It goes on. It just points out that a fundamental problem that exists in the United States today is that people have inadequate savings. We've gone into this consumerism notion, just buy, shop till you drop, buy everything on credit. And according to this report, we're talking 75% of the American people have $800 or less set aside for emergencies. No savings. And on top of that, what they do have is almost certainly denominated in paper debt instruments, and we warn you about that probably every second or third program on financial survival. So the point is, we are, as a nation, extremely vulnerable to a significant financial downturn. What happens if we really go into a full-fledged depression and 25-30% of the American people don't have jobs? We already know that, you know, over half of them, three-quarters of them, have only $800 or less in savings, at least according to this report. What happens if unemployment goes up to, say, 30% in a real depression? It's going to affect everyone, even people that have jobs. They're going to see their savings whittled down to nothing. And we as a people will be largely living hand to mouth. And my point on all of this, I've been telling people for years, you've got to save something. You have to live in a way where you're not saving 5% or 10%. You know, I save 75 to 80% of my income, and I've been doing that for several years. And I guarantee it doesn't mean that I'm a wealthy man, but it's evidence of a determination to prepare for what I think is going to be both a bumpy ride and also some extraordinary opportunities. Worst case scenario, it's going to be possible homes will be for sale for next to nothing if you have any savings to buy them. And can't emphasize enough how important it is for folks in the audience to save, save, save as much as humanly possible. And on top of that, what kind of media should they be saving in, Melody?
I believe around the world, people are buying gold.
Yeah, of course.
They know what to buy. They know what to buy for their savings. They know it's a sign of wealth. And certainly the folks here are the last ones to get the idea. And so I think it's the perfect time to be buying gold. It was a blessing that they gave us with lower pricing in gold and silver.
True.
And, I mean, silver is, is just roaring. And so you can't, I think so many people just fall into these newsletter writers and commentators and opinion givers on the internet, and folks just get confused and they stray from the fundamentals.
And, who's paying the closest attention to fundamentals? When you talk about on a global basis, who do you think is paying the closest attention? I won't even say that they necessarily understand fundamentals I won't say they have a sophisticated understanding of fundamentals, but nevertheless they have a valid sense of them and they act accordingly. And who do you suppose that might be? It's poor people. It's the people of India. It's the people of China. It's people that are living on next to nothing who are making it their business to save their wealth, whatever they've earned, and save it in terms of gold. And it's an interesting insight to me, because over here in this country we have all the sophisticated and the smart people that know about, you know, stocks and bonds and derivatives, and they're saving their wealth in pieces of, in the form of paper debt instruments that are extraordinarily risky, while poor people, they're not saving their wealth in paper debt instruments. They're saving, I'm not saying they aren't, I'm not saying they don't do it at all, but they are trying to move into gold, and it's interesting, it's ironic that the people that are poorly educated in some regards have more common sense and better sense about this than people who are seemingly sophisticated and well-educated.
The global consumer demand for gold had hit the highest level ever in the second quarter, up 53% compared to the same time last year. And most of that demand, of course, was from China and India. Mm-hmm. And we're not, we haven't even reached the India wedding season yet, where most of their gold is purchased. But you also have jewelry demand rose by 37%, while bar and coin demand surged by 78%. But it's just not China and India that were the biggest, had the biggest markets for gold. You also saw strong demand in the Middle East and Turkey. It was also on the rise, with jewelry demand up 33% and 38% respectively, coin and buying. So it's it is interesting.
It is interesting when you see that basically the nations that are fundamentally impoverished and have been for some time, low standards of living, all right, and working for, who knows, $10,000 a year if they're lucky. These are the people that are trying to save their wealth in the form of gold. And they're doing it far more than people in this country who have access to better information, but they have access to know the fundamentals. They have reason to know the fundamentals. And yet, Americans are generally conditioned and inclined to save their wealth in, you know, like their mom and their dad did, in terms of paper dollars and paper debt instruments. And it's a little bit like saving your wealth in the form of Confederate dollars. It may be that that worked well for a previous generation, but it's not going to work well now. And the same thing is true for stocks, bonds, and so on. What else do we have, Melody?
And perhaps we'll get there when more people hear. I mean, that's why when, you know, things happen, people have a tendency to look for that safe haven. They want to go into gold. And they'll stop their foolishness of buying paper and promises to pay. It's just complete foolishness unless you have the insurance to back it up. And there was sluggish sales of U.S. retailers today that suggested that the weak consumer spending would restrain growth. I mean, this is not all big news, but this is what came out in the market today. We know what's going on. The U.S. unemployment benefits, they dropped to a six-year low of 320 as layoff ease. But then again, you just had Cisco come out saying that they're going to be laying off about 5% of their workforce. So, and going into the last quarter, you're going to have a seasonal people laid off. So I think this was just sort of a little anomaly in the market. You did have U.S. consumer prices. They just rose a little bit as food and energy costs increases at a modest pace. But the word inflation is beginning to creep back into discussions. And, of course, the Fed chairman came out, not the Fed chairman, but the Bullard, I think it was Bullard yesterday, is talking about the inflation is going to come roaring back with the way the Fed is handling our situation. So, the signs are all there. I mean, I don't know what people want. I guess people wait until for it to happen before they say, gee golly.
You might remember there was a movie with Steve Martin, and I think it was All of Me. And he was in love with some woman who really was nothing but trouble. And he prayed to God for a sign that if he shouldn't mess around with this woman, please give him a sign. And the lights start flashing and the windows are going up and down and the mirror is spinning on the wall, and he completely ignores. Well, okay, we didn't see any signs, so he's going to go ahead and marry this woman. The signs are there if you care to look for them. Yeah. You know, we can see the signs if we care to see them, but if you are conditioned to be in love with a particular investment, it's hard to give that up. And I understand that. I mean, I'm conditioned to be in love with gold. That is my conditioning at the moment, but my conditioning is not based on what other people are trying to make me think. It's what I have researched and come up with on my own. I've looked at the fundamentals and I said, hey, this is a heck of a deal.
And, you know, a lot of these folks got into the stock market because of derivatives. Folks, you know, if corporate earnings are coming back, guess what's the first thing they're going to cut? They're going to cut your little dividends, not derivatives, but your dividends. And they're already doing that. A lot of your mining shares, they cut a lot of the dividends that they were paying, and you're going to see that flow into the stock market too. The dividends was something that they floated in front of everybody's face. It was the carrot, and it got a lot of people back into the market because they like those monthly dividends, so, or quarterly dividends or whatever they pay them. So I do want to make a comment, Al. We got a nice little email here from someone giving me an update. I actually have a person, Donald, who faithfully listens to the program and gives us updates on how the reception is, both on mainly for shortwave. And another one came in from Gaines County, Texas. Best wishes with everything over our way. Thanks for keeping shortwave radio alive with your broadcast for so many years. And that's one thing. We do have a lot of great listeners, not only on shortwave that goes around the world, but also in various cities around this country, Spokane, states, California, Louisiana, Dallas, Tennessee. So we got lots of places, and we want to thank each and every one of you for
plus listening. The internet.
And the internet, yes, yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Plus satellite.
Yes.
And for those of you that are interested, we have a system of tin cans with strings.
Yeah,
right?
There we go.
Now you have to pay for the string if you want the. We'll supply the tin cans, at least the one at this end, but you have to pay for the strings. But the point is, we really do get around a little bit. You know, we are not, you know, this is not Rush Limbaugh and the rest of that, but we do make a little bit of difference, and we're glad
and
to have that opportunity.
We've been doing it for how long? The whole point, we've been doing it for so long. I've been doing this almost 20 years. Al, you've been doing it. You published a magazine. We know what's going on. We know the fundamentals. We know what happens when a fiat currency goes on. That's why we're telling you.
Yep.
And we didn't have $1,300, $1,500, $1,900 gold in the early 90s. Once they took us off that standard, once they broke the connection to gold, you could write history.
Yeah.
You could predict history.
The only thing we haven't been able to anticipate and predict accurately is when. But I guarantee you, we know roughly what's going to happen. It's just we can't say when it's going to happen, but we can say that we're getting closer all the time. And when we finally get to that moment, it will be too late. Those who haven't made the adjustment and haven't protected themselves when we finally get to that moment are going to probably be unable to provide that protection. And it's part of the reason why you want to act now, if you have the wherewithal to do so. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. As always, we will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.